Hello and welcome to another edition of the Armchair Directors. For each episode, we take a look at one of cinema's great directors and their essential films. This week on the show, we are looking at the French film Baxter, directed by Jerome Boivin. Returning on the show today to talk about Baxter is Professor Marie Westhaver. Professor Westhaver, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
So that's two disturbing movies in a row. I mean, it's funny because you think like these talking animal movies or the movies that take you inside the mind of a dog or a cat or whatever, they're always, you know, they're kids' movies. They're always cute or funny, and this is, you know, definitely not one of them. And especially at that, I would have been surprised if somebody took their kids to this movie thinking it was a kids' movie, and they're like, oh my God, what's going on? I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
I think you would have to leave immediately. Yeah, it's definitely not Scooby-Doo or Beethoven or Lassie. Yeah, this is the other side of what dogs might be thinking. Yeah, we tend to think they're simple. They're like children. You know, they just want to play and eat. But no, there's a darker side, perhaps.
Yeah, there might be something. I mean, it's because it's interesting. You don't really know why he is the way he is. We know that he's from a shelter. I think it's might be a little bit implied that the owner of that shelter is kind of neglectful or abusive. So maybe that's why he's so, you know, he's so dark and has all these violent thoughts. But yeah, it's just one of those things where you don't really know why he is the way he is. I thought that's what's really interesting, because you just said right from the beginning, you just, you know, you feel uncomfortable just the way the things he thinks about, what he does, what he likes to watch, and what he plans to do. I mean, he does pretty awful things in the movie.
Just pretty much instincts. Yeah, the dog is definitely has a dark mind, and you know, and I don't have any sort of I'm not an expert in any way, but he is a pit bull breed. So I think, you know, one of the things that's implied is that he's just innately the way he is.
So it's saying that, you know, kind of going back to the pit bulls are dangerous?
Not necessarily like it's a movie about how pit bulls are dangerous. It's just taking the mind of an animal that has been bred to be vicious and what might be lurking in their, you know, reptilian brain.
Yeah. I always say that pit bulls, when it comes to that, they always get, like, I think that's sort of wrong to, like, they had a bad rap. So whenever, like, somebody's, like, walking their pit bull, like, a lot of people might, like, you know, walk away or for afraid. And I was thinking that's, you know, that's pretty much unfair, because not all pit bulls are like that. And, you know, even if they are like that, that's not their fault. That's because, you know, horrible people breed them to get into fights, you know, like a Michael Vick or whatever. That's not what the pit, I don't know, always feels like, you know, that's not, it's unfair to those dogs.
Oh, you know, I'm in no way trying to pick on
pit bulls. I know, I'm not saying you or anything.
I think that first you're working with the stereotypes. Immediately, you know, I was thinking, you said somebody might pick up that movie and bring it home thinking it was something appropriate for kids. But other people would look at it and think, oh my God, it's a pit bull. There's going to be something sinister about us. There's two expectations there. The other is that, yes, there's lots of really sweet pit bulls. There's lots of sweet people. But I think the movie explores the dark underbelly of nature.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of this stupid meme where it says, people say pit bulls are dangerous. So here is a picture of Pitbull with kids, and it's the singer Pitbull. So Pitbull with kids, he's good with family, he's good with women and everything. I'm just thinking that's stupid.
Never bit anybody.
Yeah. And it's also not only disturbing with the dog, but we also get a look at this young boy. And do they give the kid, is the kid named, or is he just called the boy?
You know, I really can't
remember. I don't
remember
him having a name. I looked it up on Wikipedia, and it just says the boy.
The boy.
But
that's such an interesting character. I mean, and I think we should talk about each owner.
Yeah, because he goes through owners. Like the first, it's just this old woman.
Yes, the old lady. Time with the old lady.
And then there's the young couple. And then there's the young boy.
Yes.
And the first, and like he just, almost immediately he hates the old lady. And the old lady doesn't really want him. She was kind of forced upon by her daughter to have this. And so almost right away he just hates her.
I think it does. Well, first of all, there's been a lot of movies where they try to, you know, animate what dogs are thinking, but they've always been made for kids. This one's definitely for adults. And I think he immediately dislikes her because he can tell she's afraid of him. But the things that he says in his mind are just hilarious about how, you know, she closes the door and does things I'm not allowed to see. And, you know, you see some rotisserie chickens and, you know, she'll eat anything. You know, I'm afraid she's going to eat me. He's just so he doesn't know how to be with her because she doesn't know how to handle a dog. Mm-hmm. It's a really interesting look at how the fear of the dog makes everything worse.
Yeah, but it's almost like maybe in a way she kind of realizes that he's dangerous. Because even when, you know, the whole thing is he wants to be with that young couple, it's even a point at night when, he watches the room at night and tries to hear them having sex. It's almost like she knows he's trying to do something. She's like, don't go near that window. Don't look out the window at night. So she locks him from that room. So it's almost like, in a way, she kind of knows, she can kind of understand what he's doing.
Well, that's very possible. Yeah. I don't think she understands quite the depth of his loathing for her. Do you think that, you know, she came to a bad end. Did you think he was responsible?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, me too. Because the whole thing, he wanted to go next door.
Yeah, he wanted to go next door with the young couple. And she was barring him from barring him from everywhere, from even spying on them and everything. So, yeah, I think he definitely did something.
I also thought it was interesting and sort of primal the way he kept describing the way everything smelled. You know, for him, mm-hmm. everything started with the way it smelled, kind of going with last week's weird movie about perfume.
Yeah, perfume, yeah.
Yeah, there's something very animalistic, I guess, at sniffing things out. And I don't know, that character's so sinister. But when he joins the young couple, he's kind of happy for a while.
He's happy for a while, but then it's sort of the thing, once they have a child,
the hairless dog.
Yeah, the jealousy consumes him, and it gets very uncomfortable when he's trying to tip the baby into the pool to drown him.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, he just goes right back to it.
Right.
But then we talked earlier, when he gets to the boy, it's almost like the boy's going to be like a perfect match for him. But even he's scared a bit by the boy, because when he traps the one kid and tries to get, sick him boy, and he doesn't do it because, which I guess he doesn't have a reason to do it. He doesn't hate the boy for some reason. But, and then after that, he starts getting disturbed by the kid. And even at the end, he almost feels uncomfortable going along with it, which is then the kid kills the dog.
The interesting thing about the kid, though, is that when we're watching as adults, he's a kid. The dog doesn't know from kid. It's just another person. And the kid, it's the first time he's really understood, because the kid gives him commands. Suddenly he's doing what dogs are meant to do. Mm-hmm. And he's happy running along after the kid and doing everything that he does. But he doesn't say to himself in his dog mind like we would. He's just a kid. I don't have to listen to anything he says. It's just interesting the way he's so grateful to finally have someone tell him what to do, which I think is an interesting commentary. It's funny when you're watching the movie that it's French, but it feels German.
Yeah. And maybe it's because the boy is obsessed with
Adolf Hitler.
Hitler and the Nazis. He's collected all this Nazi memorabilia. He sees the girl as Eva Braun. He obsesses. And it's one interesting thing in the movie where I don't know if they're implying that he's going to be like a serial killer, or if he's going to be like a extremely radical, fascist politician who's going to try to, bring England or something to the rules of a Nazi politician or dictator.
Or is he just going to be that creepy neighbor who breeds wild dogs and you're afraid to go by his house because you always think he's going to do something weird? I don't know. I think he's meant to, we talked before about horror movies, and this is my kind of horror movie, because you said, there's nothing more horrifying than things people can do. Much worse than monsters. Well, this dog, even though he has animal instincts and acts on them at times, even when it may seem like he's not deciding to, people shown in this movie, it can be so much worse.
Oh, yeah, because the kid, you don't really know if he's going to try to be a serial killer. He tries to even kill one of his classmates. He gets all joyed when the dog kill. I forget. He kills. Did he kill like a drifter or something? A homeless person.
The thing about the dog being forced to kill by the kid, though, is that there comes a point where the dog actually says, in his mind something to the effect of, what am I, an animal?
Mm-hmm.
He's more evolved than the kid. That's why it's the ending is the only way that could have ended.
Where the kid kills the dog.
Where the kid kills the dog. The evil triumphs over everything in this story.
And especially that ending makes you think, is the kid going to, now that he has, is he just, what's he going to do now? Is he just going to start going the path of a serial killer where he's going to start, he's killed an animal. Mm-hmm. Is he going to keep killing like dogs and pets? And eventually he's going to get to the part where he's going to try humans?
He certainly seems capable of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the things that it's trying to say is, I mean, I think one of the things the movie is trying to say, you ask the question, why, what made Baxter like this? You know, was he abused? Was he neglected? Well, the kid seems like he's got a family.
Yeah, that's what made him.
What made him like
is.
That? So that's the same. It's actually the same question.
Yeah, because there's. I mean, judging from just what we see, there's nothing. Maybe you could say the parents are a little bit neglectful, but nothing to really make him turn that way. Where he's obsessed with Nazism, where he wants, has this urge to kill. And yeah, that was one of the interesting things. Just, you don't know why he is the way he is. Just like, why is Baxter the way he is?
Yeah, is it a one-off? Is it inevitable? Is it nature? Is it nurture? I think it's interesting that they give you a dog to focus on, but in a way, it's really about the kid.
Yeah, and especially that scene, the way he's so easy able to manipulate people, just because at the very end when he kills Baxter, he makes it out like he's crying, and he's like saying, oh, Baxter tried to kill me, Baxter tried to kill me. He gets all these crocodile tears. He's already able to use that manipulation, so he's really going the path of a sociopath or a psychopath, a serial killer.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's very wily.
Mm-hmm. You know, what was interesting about this, reading about this, a lot of people thought this movie, in a way, was funny, like a dark comedy. And I wasn't laughing in the movie. Was I missing the humor just because the film is just, it's really disturbing and this everybody does horrible things, but I didn't like get a part where, I mean, I've seen quite a few dark comedies, but there was never a moment where I was laughing.
I thought some of the scenes with the old lady were pretty funny. Some of his observations about her with the rotisserie chickens, and I think she's going to eat me, and the strangeness that what he's perceiving is not her perception, just the difference in that. It's very, I thought, witty. And then I do think if you're in the mind of the dog at all, if you have any sympathy for the dog at all, you know, he's finally made it over to the next door neighbors where he wants to be, and he's thinking he's going to get rid of the baby. You know, I think that whole let's drown a baby in a swimming pool in a baby pool in the backyard, the way they shoot that is they try to make it from the dog's point of view.
Oh yeah, especially when they're, it's like a POV and it's getting close to him, he's trying to nudge him into the pool.
Yeah, and since of course he doesn't prevail, so he doesn't succeed, you don't have to feel like you actually cheered on the
Yeah, but I didn't find that funny though. That's the thing, I don't know, it was just too dark, and I didn't, if there was humor, it must have just, you know, went by me because I wasn't laughing.
I think it was meant to show how his view of right and wrong is completely different from humans. Yeah, you're right. I guess that, how do you play that for laughs?
Yeah, maybe it's just one of those things where I just didn't get it.
But it is very dark.
Oh, very, very, very dark, yeah. It was interesting reading about this John Waters from Baltimore. He's, I think this is one of his favorite movies, or he really was a big fan of it, and you think, I think he included on his list of like 100 most corruptible movies or something.
Well, you have to admit you've never seen anything like it.
No, this is one of those things, you've never seen anything like it.
It is a cult classic amongst a lot of people. And I know we're talking about the director, but I don't really think of this as one of his films as much as I think of it as a Jacques Audouard movie.
Yeah, and he did two movies we talked about, right? The Prophet and
Read My Lips,
yeah.
Yeah, and see, I think he does dark pretty well.
Oh yeah, especially A Prophet's a good, really good movie, and it's this dark path of, you know, how this just petty criminal who just like beat up a cop all of a sudden becomes this crime lord in prison, and then you get Read My Lips, which is sort of this twisted love story.
Yeah, and I think he did a really good job of directing Vincent Cassel in that movie in terms of taking a dark character and making you sort of follow them and you want them to prevail. Of course, you don't feel that way about Baxter. You're sort of watching in a detached way. You know, you don't feel like you're the dog.
No, you can't connect to the dog just because he's just so evil. And one of the things, though, when he kills the dog, I almost want to get your take on this, almost feels like he becomes the dog a little bit in a way, or he gains some of his insights. Because the big thing after he kills the dog, what does he do? He goes right up to that window at night and starts listening to that couple, just mm-hmm. like the dog did. So it's almost like he's going to try and follow that steps where he might like try to find a way to get rid of his parents, be taken in by that family, and then try to kill them.
Wow. Baxter 2. What happened to the kid? That's a really dark thread, actually. I thought of it more like the way Odouard takes characters and makes them complex and makes you think they are... I'm completely losing my train of thought, but I have something I wanted to say
about
his characterization. Oh, I know what it was. In The Prophet, you have this kind of meek person who ends up in prison, and then he kills somebody in a really, really violent way. And then that guy's spirit follows him throughout the rest of the movie. It haunts him, and yet it kind of saves him at the end. So this dark, evil thing that he is forced to do comes afterward with a sort of spirit guide that leads him into a sort of charmed life. So I think Baxter's the other side of that coin, where the killing of the dog, whatever spirit might affect him after that, would infiltrate his mind. He would be more bloodthirsty. He succeeded in that. Okay. He overcame that evil, so he's more evil. I don't know. I think that's definitely a possibility.
So
I would be Odouardian.
Yeah, so not necessarily following that thread of Baxter where he's going to try to pick up where the dog left off, but more just, like you said, following a thread.
Right. Right. Just, the increasing evil. But it's interesting that you bring up the idea of sort of taking on totems from the thing that you kill.
Yeah, because that's what I thought. It just because of that shot when he's watching the couple just like Baxter did, it's almost feeling like he's going to follow in those he's like learned something from the dog, and then he's going to follow in the dog's footsteps.
Well, I think that the dog also, I think Baxter is such a strange guide to follow through the movie. That's why, the darkness, if you don't like that kind of dark movie, you're never going to like it. But when he is killing everybody to get to what he wants, you're not necessarily hoping he succeeds as much as wanting to sit back and watch what happens if he does. Not like you can do anything anyway. You can't stop the movie in progress and make it go the way you want. But when you're watching it, you are kind of thinking, well, how bad is it going to get? What is he really capable of?
Yeah, I can see that. And what's interesting right about Baxter is we talk about how you look at the Bull Terrier. The Bull Terrier is, this is not necessarily, when you look at it, not necessarily cute and cuddly like a puppy or golden retriever or something. He does have that face where you don't know if he's smiling or happy, or you don't know if he's angry or upset. And you see that throughout Baxter's look, where he doesn't really have like a smiling expression like some dogs have, or he doesn't even get like angry and starts barking or anything. It's what's creepy about it. He just always maintains that blank expression throughout the movie.
It's like quietly intellectually evil. But he is the target dog.
Target dog.
The chain store.
Oh, yeah. I just got that.
Every time I see that dog, I think, oh, no, it's Baxter.
You just remembered General Patton's dog was a Bull Terrier. And it's funny, in the movie, he calls him William, like William the Conqueror, and he's rough and everything. And then he's at this, goodwill meeting with, British citizens, and one of the British citizens has, a little poodle, and it barks at William, and then the dog gets scared. And so Pan goes, I'm not gonna call you William, I'm gonna call you Willie. Thanks for that. I do have a couple of flaws in this film though. I now want to talk about it. Does seem like there's a lot of signs people have that the son would be a killer and somebody would find out. I mean, the parents, they would get, I think, extreme. They've seen now that he has all this Nazi memorabilia. I think eventually they're gonna get to okay, this is getting a little bit disturbing. They would bring in a psychologist or something to talk to him. And the biggest thing is he had tried to kill one of his classmates. And I think that's not going to just go unresolved. That kid is going to say, hey, this kid tried to kill me. That's one of the flaws of the film. Nobody's going to be that unnoticing about the kid where there's so many signs. And especially when he attempted to murder somebody, where people would just let it go and not even notice.
Yeah, But as far as we know, when we get to the end of the movie, no one stops him. I mean, is that supposed to be about how his parents really aren't paying attention? Or is it supposed to be like the kids in Columbine, where they were so clever at covering their tracks? And at the end, when the kid manages to cry and pretend, oh, I'm so upset, you know, I killed him before he killed me. That's very manipulative. So it makes me think that he's probably thought all that out.
That's a good point. I mean, considering the recent news, I mean, you know, look how many warning signs everyone had about that one kid, where he was even literally posting videos on how he's going to shoot up a school with his name on it. And he was even looked into by the FBI, but nobody still did anything about it. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, because we do get all these signs and people still don't take notice.
Yeah, I think the other thing that maybe is a little bit subtle is that it appeared to me that the kid, the boy, did pretty well in school and kind of was no trouble. So it's easy to overlook a kid like that.
The quiet ones.
The quiet ones. Yeah. It's always the quiet ones, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think the character as written certainly has the potential to grow up to be somebody very, very much a danger to society. But the actor who plays the kid is terrific.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's very good, because he never quite gets too campy or, like, over the top with his evilness, but he's always just has that calmness, the creepy calmness.
Yes, creepy calmness, which actually, so does Baxter.
Mm-hmm. You know, the way I was watching it, I almost wondered if this movie was a little bit inspired by The Son of Sam, the serial killer from the 1970s, because I believe, you know, when he was captured, he said that his dog was telling him to do all this stuff, that, you know, the people that he killed. So I was wondering if they got a little bit of that from The Son of Sam.
Oh, no, that's interesting. Do you know what kind of dog he had?
I don't know what dog he had, though.
But it'd be interesting if he had a bull terrier.
Because even there was, if you remember an old SNL skit about buckwheat.
Yes.
Some crazy guy goes and kills buckwheat, and they ask him why he did it, because he was like, oh, my dog told me to do it.
See, my idea is a dog would never tell you to do something like that. Mm-hmm. But even Baxter.
Yeah, maybe it's just they're so delusional they believe their dog is communicating them telepathically or something.
Who are we to say, right?
Yeah. And a little question. I know this is based on a book called Hellhound by Ken Greenhall. Have you seen it?
I haven't read it?
Okay,
I haven't. I should, because I think it would be interesting to see how close it is to the movie.
Yeah. And you talked a little bit. It's interesting that this is you said this was Odiard film. He wrote the screenplay, but this was directed by Jerome Boivin, and he's done is not much he's done. There was a film in the 90s called Barho, and there was a TV series he directed called Vertige, and it had Marion Cotillard in it. So anything to say about those or anything?
No, I really think of this as an Odiard film because of the fact that, to me, the whole movie is about the dialogue, and he wrote all the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that you have to say something about Maxime Leroux, who does the voice of Baxter, because I think that he gives it a distinctive air of evil and authority. It's a perfect voice.
Yeah, it's a perfect voiceover, because he just has that, you know, the anger in every word. It just has this anger and hatred and, you know, violent intent.
Yes.
Everything he says.
And everything he says. Very.
Even when he's happy, he's still upset.
Yes.
Okay. Getting close to the end of my questions here. Is anything else about Odiard or anything else you want to bring up about this movie?
Beware of the dog.
One of the things I did wonder is...
Actually,
oh, go ahead.
I don't know if this was actually going to be your last tagline, but what do you think about Baxter's last words, never be obedient?
It is interesting, because I was wondering why, because I was thinking at the end that he was going to kill the kid.
So was I.
And then that they the parents go, they find him, and then they kill the dog, not realizing what a monster their son was. But I was a little bit, confused, like, why exactly all of a sudden did he say, when the kid said, don't, Baxter, don't do it, and all of a sudden he doesn't. Because it's not like he was obedient with the old lady.
Right.
He just wanted to kill her. And he was not necessarily obedient with the young couple when he tried to kill the kid. So I didn't really quite, that was one of the flaws I had. Like, you've been disobeying people before. Why all of a sudden now? Is it just because that the kid is more authoritative than the others? I wasn't quite sure about that scene.
Maybe it's because he's trying to say, you know, be your own dog, that he was better off when he was with the old lady who was afraid of him, and the couple who he feels betrayed him. Finally, he meets the perfect master in quotes. And once he started actually obeying what the kid said, he realized, I guess, that this isn't what he wanted to do, which is more than the kid realizes. The kid's just embroiled in his evil and keeps going with it. Baxter, I think, understands, no, this isn't what I want to do, or this isn't what I feel compelled to do. So don't just do what people say. And, you know, given that at the end of it is sort of the Nazi story, I mean, I think that's part of that message. Never be obedient. Don't just follow authority.
Orders. Yeah, that's another thing I was thinking with all
that. Resist your dog-like nature. Because, you know, we think that dogs have this cuddly underside, but, you know, they probably do have the side shown in Baxter, and so do we. So I think that's, you know, beware of the dog means, you know, yourself.
Don't give in to your animalistic
exactly,
tendencies.
Okay. Exactly.
All right, then. So then the last question I'll have is just tell us a little bit about your classes. And just curious, do you bring this into any of yours?
I brought this into when I taught French film 206, and because we were talking about Audouard. But I've also used it to show the difference between the way an American film might treat a dog and then show something like Doug from Up. Or Babe, with the pig, and then show a clip from Baxter. And I show the one where he's talking about the old lady and the rotisserie chickens and, you know, his view of what she thinks. Because I think most of the things he says, even though they're bizarre, they're interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it does make you stop and think, but that's an interesting way to present an animal because it's unique. Other than that, I don't know that I've used it in any other class because it's just so weird.
Yeah. One of the things I was wondering, have you ever seen Anchorman?
That's a Will Ferrell movie, right?
Yeah.
I love Will Ferrell, but I haven't seen that one.
Oh, okay. Well, that's like the classic Will Ferrell.
Oh, see, I think Elf is the classic Will Ferrell.
Oh, that one too. But anyway, in the movie, he has a dog named Baxter.
Okay.
And so I was just wondering if they got that from this movie. But,
well, you know, I don't think a lot of people saw this movie, especially not outside of France. It's really kind of one of those cult classics. Yeah. But I have some friends who have a dog named Baxter. And I was like, seriously, you named him Baxter? So I had to send him the movie.
Yeah, I guess Baxter's just a popular name, like, you know, Spike or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good dog name. It's the new Rover, I guess. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that wraps up this episode of The Armchair Directors. We have been discussing director Jerome Boivin and his 1989 film, Baxter. Don't forget, you can listen to The Armchair Directors every Thursday at 9:30 a.m., Sunday at 2:30 p.m., or anytime at dragondigitalradio.podbean.com under the category Armchair Directors. Pastor West, I want to thank you again for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
For the Armchair Directors, I'm your host, Alex Baker, saying, Baxter, you know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.